Hey, podcast listeners, you are listening to Drunk on Comics, and you have tuned into yet another special edition, a special post-show wrap-up edition?
Yeah.
Is that what we'll call it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you like that title?
The post-wrap-up show special edition. But what's the show, Kevin?
They'll figure it out. No. No, man. We just got back from Toronto Fan Expo. Or is it Fan Expo Canada?
Fan Expo Canada.
Okay. 2014.
Yep.
And this is our first experience, not only at a show in Canada, our first show of this large magnitude. And wow.
Yeah, it was
absolutely mind-boggling, everything what happened.
It was a mess. And thank you, quickly, first and foremost, to our good buddy Jay from An Elegant Weapon. You guys can check him out at anelegantweapon.ca, because that stands for Canada, eh? But no, thanks, Jay, man. It's a pleasure always hanging out with you. And it was, I think what made the show so great was having somebody there to be able to kind of like go, here's what you want to do, and he had the little plan, and it was nice. We got to kick back for once.
Yeah, it was so nice to hang out with somebody who's familiar with the town, because it's massive. I mean, it's probably one of the largest towns I've ever been in.
Well, I think, what did he say?
I should say, because I've been around L.A. and around New York and Chicago's huge as well, because we're Midwesterners.
Well, and I think you said population size last year, Toronto took over Chicago, and they're now the third largest in North America.
Yeah, so man, we can't say thank you enough to Jay at Elegant Weapon
for all the help. But even more, man, thanks for hanging out and you know, kind of being part of our family as well. Because if you guys haven't listened to his show, please go do, because I mean, that dude's like family to us. So.
Dude, are you getting misty-eyed right now?
No, I'm getting a boner.
Oh.
Yeah. It's old misty one-eyed.
Yeah.
So.
God. When did you start calling it names? Oh, man.
No, so,
Okay, so, unfortunately, due to certain events, we were only able to stay for one day. We weren't able to do the full 4-day experience. So we saw a lot, but we didn't get everything done we wanted to. And in this,
it seems like it was even less than what we wanted. But
yeah, but what we did get came through great. And what you're going to be listening to is several interviews that we've collected.
Some podcast gold.
Oh my God! Yeah, absolutely. That is.
Before we do, let's kind of give a little rundown, of the show. And by the way, for people at home, if you're wondering, yes, we're at a bar recording again, because it's still a holiday weekend and we aren't done drinking.
No, actually, if anything, this hair of the dog.
Yeah.
I didn't drink anything yesterday because my liver went into overdrive. This is actually helping. This is helping quite a bit. So, excellent idea, Derek, to meet up here at our favorite watering hole.
Yep, that term just for Tony and Matt. the term watering hole brought to you by the Brothers McKay. I think there's a lot of things I want to touch on the show, and I think the one thing, you know, Jay was like going, dude, he goes, you have no idea how huge and how immense this show is, and I think this was the first year that they used both the North and South Tower at the convention center.
No way.
I believe that's what they...
So there are two towers.
Yep.
Which, I'm surprised I didn't hear a Lord of the Rings joke not once when I was there.
Yeah, you know what?
But there wasn't. But
I did hear a Lord of the Rings joke, but not in reference to that. There's a guy dressed as Gandalf, and he just like, and I mean, it was jam packed in there. He's like, Gandalf doesn't like crowds. Gandalf needs to get out of here. Gandalf needs you people to move. And he's like, so I mean, that was the only joke.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it was a terrible Gandalf costume, but the fact that he was portraying it in an even worse way made it work. But okay. Yeah.
So normally it's in one tower. They've essentially doubled their size.
I don't know if they doubled, but because that north tower, I don't think was nearly as big as the south.
But it is amazing how much crap they jam in there, and it seemed like it wasn't even if they doubled their space, it still did not feel like it was enough room.
No, those aisles were jam-packed. Like, I actually felt like I was at a concert, like at points during the day where you're literally pushed in with people, and you know, you're not moving. You know, you're just waiting for the crowd to kind of flow a little bit, and then your feet shuffle.
Yeah. Well, you know, now that I've had a couple of days to reflect on that, it was kind of annoying at first, but now that I've experienced it, there was actually some sort of fun to it.
There is, yeah.
And it was organized, and I felt safe.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Organized chaos.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was, reflecting back on it, it was a pleasurable experience that I'll definitely do again.
Oh, dude, I have no complaints about that convention whatsoever. I mean,
would I
like the aisles to be a little bit wider? Yeah, but did it stop me from having a good time? Fuck no. Yeah.
Well, definitely, if you ever go to a major convention, con tip. Since we don't have those in the show very often anymore.
Yeah, pro tip.
Pro tip is take a look to see how long it takes to re-enter the convention.
Yeah,
rookie's mistake that I made is I left at peak showtime, and it took me 25 minutes to re-enter because they reached capacity.
Yeah, it took me 45. I made the mistake of walking out and looked, and there was only a couple people. I didn't realize that they actually had a staging area for the line to get back in. So there was a line for a line. And
45, you know, I wonder if that was my wait too, about 45 minutes. It's just I was sort of having fun in line.
Yeah.
So, you know, the good times fly by.
The only reason I know it was that long is because we had a set time for us to meet back up because it was one of the times where we'd split. And I'm like sitting there going, all right, cool. I'm going to, you know, quick run outside. I'm going to grab some water. I'm going to do this and do that. And I looked and I'm like, I'm going to go outside first. And I looked at my watch and I'm like, awesome, I got no problem. And yeah, then I walked outside and then all of a sudden I heard and I'm like, oh no. And so like, I literally just ran to the back of the line, which was down the block and around the corner to get into the line, to get into the place. And I was like, whoa. But you know, yeah, it's a show that big. That's something that. Well, and part of it, too, is we haven't gone to a show as a non-exhibitor or non-press in over 2 years.
Yeah, it has been it's been a while, so it was a refreshing experience.
Yeah, because we forgot that sometimes those things happen.
Yeah.
I know I certainly did because, well, I know that, like, you know, the last show that we went to not exhibiting was Tony and I at C2E2, mm-hmm. which, for people that have been to C2E2, I think it's a fair comparison to say that the Artist Alley in C2E2 is approximately the same size, give or take, of the Artist Alley at Toronto, at Fan Expo Canada, I should say. And the difference is, I think that it's the same size, but there's actually more people jammed in Toronto, which, you know, thus yeah. the smaller aisles. But yeah, it was, you know, even there we were pressed, so we had a little bit different in and out. It wasn't the same thing that necessarily had to deal with for your average person like we were at this show. But yeah, it was cool. I think the other thing too, I mean, C2E2 is a massive show.
Sure.
But the major difference, I think, between Toronto and all the other shows I've been to is that show not only has your celebrities and your comic, you know, creators and your comic book dealers and your toy dealers, but then they also had, like, Lego had a massive booth, Hasbro had a booth, all these video game developers.
Oh, there was, I would say, a fifth of one hall was dedicated to just gaming.
Yeah.
And it was all over the map. DC had a presence. Of course they're going to have a presence at a comic book show.
Well, did DC have an official presence? Because I didn't see him there.
I'm seeing Warner Brothers. Oh. Warner Brothers, yeah. Excuse me. Sorry, I mean, because the two are so closely related to each other. But Warner Brothers was big with their division they're representing. But then, of course, Sony and Microsoft.
I think Fox had some stuff there. I mean, you know, because there was a lot of Family Guy stuff floating around.
What surprised me the most was that actually there was a huge Stargate 2. Not Stargate. StarCraft.
Yeah.
StarCraft 2. I mean, if you're not into it, I'm not into it either, but at least I know how immense that game is.
Yeah.
You know, it obsessed everyone in Korea. But there was a huge presence of that. Amazing. And I mean, it's not my bag, but you got to appreciate the scope of which that brought.
Yeah, this was just a massive, massive show. And, you know, when I was walking around with Jay, I'm like, you know, I go, the cool thing about this show is that there's something here for everybody. Because over in the North Tunnel, you had all this horror type stuff. And, like,
yeah, there was a lot of horror stuff that I didn't get rid of. I mean, I just passed by real fast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I spent maybe 20 minutes in the North Tower, you know, but there's horror creators and there's more video games and there's, you know, you've got your, I don't know if this is the right term, so I apologize, but the cosplay groups, like your 501st and your Doctor Who people, and, you know, there's the Doctor Who Society of Canada. There were this X-Men people there. There's, like, all these different groups that have their official presence there, which we're normally only seeing in the 501st at the shows that we go to. But all of a sudden, you get all these different ones. And it's just, it's really cool to see all these groups, and I think calling themselves Fan Expo is the proper term for that show, because they're all about the fans and what the fans want. Last year, they tried doing sports stuff. Yeah, they didn't bring it back. I don't know if it just didn't work. But you know what? They're doing what their fans want, and so props to them for it.
Yeah, well, hey, props to them for trying, because honestly, you can't keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again, and have continued success. You got to try to evolve, you adapt.
Yeah, yeah. So cool show. You know, it's there's so much there. For a little bit different side too. Obviously, I'm looking forward to hearing Jay's podcast that he put out, which there will probably be some very embarrassing conversations with us on there throughout the...
You know, talking about an embarrassing conversation, there was actually this one conversation we had in particular. We were at...
At Hoops. Yep, and I know he was recording.
I know he was, and it was one of those things, because I was baked. I was really baked, and we didn't have that much to drink at this point, but I told a story, and it was one of those things where, you know, you think it's funny up in the noggin, but then you hear about it after the fact, and it wasn't funny at all.
Well, I thought it was funny.
So I look forward to that podcast to be aired so I can listen. But, I mean, Jay's a master of editing, so he'll make it not only sparkle, but...
Yeah, he's also... a master of getting the conversation flowing and recording when you don't necessarily know he is. So him and his gorilla podcasting.
Gorilla podcasting.
Yeah, that's, and I think with him it's gorilla with an O, unfortunately. But you know, we'll get around to it. We'll teach him the right ways. No, the couple things I want to bring up before we get into the interviews were a couple highlights for me. Obviously, I mean just. Seeing our friends, you know, there, people that we've gotten to know throughout the years, people that we've interviewed, you know, and just kept in touch with, that's always fun. It was nice to see that we had a pretty good Michigan presence there with five creators right from Michigan, which, oddly enough, were right next to Jay's boys, you know, with Anthony Ruckgazer and the rest of his crew from Action Labs. It was just really funny that, you know, Jay's bringing us back. Okay, here's where our home base is. And I look over and there's our Michigan boys. You know, Jay Fosgate and Jay Jaycott and Tony Mayo and Ted Woods. And I'm like, that's sweet. You know, because, I mean, that was awesome. And getting to hang out with Tony later on Saturday night, we're randomly running into him, running into Ryan Stegman and a bunch of other people at the bar. And, you know, just a town that size, the fact that we ended up in the...
And then you run into people. That's amazing.
That we randomly ended up in the one bar where everybody else kind of randomly ended up was... That kind of felt like a good little bit of karma, you know, a little comic book goodness happening right there. Kevin, what were some of your highlights? I've got a couple of things that I do want to mention, though, besides the hanging out.
Sure. Well, I did get to talk very briefly, because I know, honestly, I don't want to ever be that guy where I'm, you know, that takes too much of somebody else's time.
Yeah.
I know, especially the writers, the artists. They're there at the end of the day. They're to promote themselves, make money.
Yep.
And
they're doing their job.
So I talked to Greg Pak, who currently is doing Doomed.
Yep.
Superman Doomed, Superman Batman.
Wonder Woman?
Batman Superman.
Oh, okay.
Superman Batman.
Yeah.
So I got both number ones signed by him. And conversation with him was brief, but you know what? I'm not very confident, or I don't easily project myself onto others easily. So when I started a conversation with him, it was nice where it went, and I was very happy to talk to him, someone who's I think is doing excellent work these days.
Yeah, he is. I would definitely agree with that. You know, I think that's the thing. I mean, yeah, we only got a very small handful of interviews, and they're quick compared to our normal interviews. You know,
about 3 to 6 minutes each,
roughly. Yeah, you know, and normally we try to go like, you know, maybe 10 to 20 if people have the time, but this show was so busy, you know, it's like we'd catch them in a brief moment, and then next thing you know, here's the lineup starting behind us. And you can't take that time away from them, because that's taking money.
Sure, absolutely. Like a couple of the interviews that we did, Derek, of course, you normally ask all the questions, but I actually spend a couple moments just whispering to people, letting them know, like, hey, we're just finishing up with an interview, stick around,
yep,
make sure you talk to this guy, he's the real deal, whatever. So people around us were kind of cool with that.
Yeah,
that it wasn't going to take much time, but...
Well, and I think some people actually, you know, they appreciate when we're brief, but they actually appreciate, too, being able to sit there and kind of hear a little bit to get some background sometimes that maybe they're afraid to ask, you know, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a couple of people that I got to talk to that... Unfortunately, it just got too busy and weren't able to go back and get the interviews, but we should hopefully be setting something up. Talk to Marcus Toe in person, which we did have the chance to interview him back with the Hacktivist interview with him and Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing. But it was great to meet him in person. Got to talk to him, talk to Ed Brisson, talk to... who else did I talk to? The guys that created Kill Shakespeare. Just... So many different people that were out there. Stephen Platt, didn't have a chance to get back with him. Wanted to interview all of our boys from Michigan, which, I mean, we've done before, but
sure,
didn't have a chance to get back around to them. You know, there were just so many people. Carr Andrews was one. You know, Justin Ponser, I kind of wanted to talk to him again. Now we got to talk to him in the bar later that night, so that was cool. but, you know, I wanted to kind of do a follow-up because he's working on... right now he's working on the Spider-Verse story. He's working on the Death of Wolverine shit. And, you know, he's working on something else, too. I don't remember what. But, I mean, like, he's working on, like, the three of the biggest stories in Marvel right now. And so it'd be kind of cool to touch base with him on those. But, you know, we've got a lot of people that hopefully we'll be able to get on through the magic of the internet here. As far as some other things that I found that I picked up that I was super excited about. There's a commission I've already posted on our Twitter page, and I think I put it in it's up on our Facebook page too.
Yeah, for sure it's on Facebook.
That Adam Warren, the creator of Empowered, did of his character Ninjette, which if you guys are interested, go back, I don't know, 3-4-ish months, you'll find a review of 9 Beers with Ninjette, the you know, one-shot issue of Empowered that came out not too terribly long ago. And so I asked him, you know, I go, hey, would you be willing to drown in Jet? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, cool. I go, well, could you have her drinking a beer? And he goes, absolutely. And I go, okay, I have one last request, and you can say no if you want. I go, would you like maybe put the Drunk on Comics logo on the beer label? And he's like, yeah, I can do something with that. So, you know, I love his art style, because rather than just put it on the logo so it's kind of something there and small, he does like the little magnifying arrow balloon pointing down to the label so that it's blown up and you see the giant drunkoncomics.com logo. And I'm like, that dude's a pro right there. I mean, just a pro. Great guy. And then I got some original pencil pages from Ryan Stegman from the new issue of Inhuman, which all have Reader on them, the brand new character that Charles Soule and he have created for this book, which I was very excited about to have a first appearance, you know, three pages of first appearance of a brand new Marvel character, which could end up becoming a very pivotal character in the Marvel Universe in the future. So
coming to a screen in 2020.
Yeah. got to talk to Sean Daly. I don't know if you've heard any of his interviews with Jay on his show, but Sean's a brand new up-and-coming artist. We're going to be having him on the show at some point. You know, I mean, there's just so many good people there. So many good people. It was just an absolute blast, you know, meeting some editors and, you know, meeting, you know, these people and that person, and fucking awesome.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There was a lot of fun to be had. I mean, dude, this is going to sound hokey as hell, but I had a great conversation with, her name was Stephanie, and she worked for the Canadian Mint.
Oh.
At the, because in Canada, they have a limited special edition run of Superman being
the printed, Superman coins.
Printed on coins. $10, $15, $20 coins. And we talked about the, and she actually was a pivotal role in actually creating the actual etches that went on the presses.
Dude, I wish I would have known about that. We could have gone back and recorded it.
Yeah, it was fun. I probably talked to her for 15, 20 minutes.
Cause, yeah.
Hell, one of our interviews, I don't know if we're going to do it on the special edition, but we were talking to our good pals at Ink Whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm so, my mind is so geared to production. Because I was obsessed with asking him questions about how does he make these flasks that look like retro 8-bit Nintendo cartridges.
I can give you some of that background, because I've talked to him in depth too. Because I'm a nerd. Like I'm a nerd.
More. Okay. So these were all new questions that already been answered. But
well, maybe not publicly, but yeah, you know, they kind of filled me in on it. The short version is they actually used. They originally used an old NES cartridge as a mold, and then it's, you know, it's like he said, it's food grade plastic, and then it's made in two pieces, and then it's sealed together with, you know, the magic of plastics at the seam, and then, you know, but that's how they got it to do it. It's a two parter.
Sure, it's a weld.
Yeah,
it's a weld. I'm in the plastics industry.
Oh, that's right, you are.
Yes. Those were a little taste of maybe something to look forward to as you're listening through this.
Yep. Yeah, I think that, well, that's definitely going to be in here because, you know, we'll keep it concise, you know. So, I guess.
like this intro?
Yeah, well, you know, we kind of had to do a little wrap up. And we'll be back here. We're going to sit back and drink some beer, listen to these interviews with you guys, and then. We'll be back here at the tail end and wrap it up with you.
All right.
All right, guys. Derek here with creator extraordinaire, Mr. Jim Zub. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Here at Fan Expo, it's a crazy time.
It is. It seems like you've been doing well. I think you've been talking a little bit.
Yeah. My voice, I don't normally sound like I'm going through puberty or whatever. Hey, you want to buy some comics? Just to show up.
Yeah, but the great thing is half the people are going to go, yeah, I do.
Yeah, it'd be great. I sure love your comics, Mr. Zub. Yeah, it's been wonderful. It's been a great, great show.
So, Jim, I got to start out talking about Wayward.
Okay.
That just hit shelves here this week.
That's right.
And I picked up issue one
Like I told you earlier, I was reading it, standing in line. I got halfway through, right when the action starts to kick, and the line starts going. And I'm like...
Pulled you right out of the moment.
And I'm like, no! So, kind of do the little, you know, elevator pitch.
Sure.
You would.
So, the elevator pitch on Wayward is, it's sort of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer in Japan. So, teenagers fighting Japanese mythological monsters in modern Tokyo. So, it's a story about generational divide. It's a story about... you know, mythology in the modern world.
And she was, you know, raised in Ireland now.
Right.
Going, so there's got to be a little bit of cultural fun in there.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. So it's, you know, to anyone, if you've ever traveled somewhere new or moved to a new city, it's like that kind of heightened awareness of a new environment or a new chapter of your life. Our main character, Rory Lane, is going through that, only she's entering Japan. She's had a difficult family life. She's trying to sort of find herself while she's got to go to school, and she gets wrapped up in the supernatural sort of underworld of Tokyo.
Nice. Now, the one question, you know, because it's assumed this is ongoing.
Right.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that's our plan. So, I mean, you never know with new series how they're going to go. We want to see where our readership levels out around issue 4 or 5, but the launch has been huge, and we're confident we're going to be able to make it ongoing. And we got all sorts of wonderful stuff to explore.
Well, and, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, book from Image, there was definitely a lot of pre-release hype.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that just from, you know, from Image.
Sure.
I'm talking across the industry, things that I saw. A lot of people talking about this book, excited to see it come out.
Yeah, it was like nervously exciting. Because you always want people to be, you know, interested and intrigued, and you want to be able to live up to that as well. So as we got sort of that head of steam going, moving towards the launch, I was... You know, nervously excited. Like, I really wanted people to jump on board and to be satisfied. And so far, the reviews have been overwhelmingly positive, and we're just want to ride that momentum forward.
Fantastic. Well, what I've read so far, I'm loving.
It's
the book I've been thinking about in the back of my head all day today.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Now, I knew you before from Skull Kickers.
Right.
You know, what else have you done for people that aren't familiar with your work?
I've been doing a bunch of writing over the last 4 years. So I created my first creator-owned series is called Makeshift Miracle. That came up from Udon back in 2006. After that, most people know me from Skull Kickers, action comedy, fantasy series at Image. That led to other stints of writing. I did that Pathfinder series for Dynamite. I'm writing Samurai Jack for IDW.
And you're working with Andy Siriano on that?
Oh, yeah, one of the original designers of Samurai Jack. I'm also did the Figment series for Disney and Marvel,
yep,
which is still coming out now. And I'll be doing the Dungeons & Dragons Legends of Baldur's Gate comic in October.
So you're pretty much a slacker. You don't do a lot.
Yeah, very bored, staying out of trouble as much as I can.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, we've got some people, looks like, standing here to wait, so I don't want to take up any more of your time.
No worries.
Jim, where can people find you online?
Easy, jimzub.com, so JIMZUB.com.
And you're on the Twitter and all that other
exact
fun stuff.
Exact same,
too.
At Jim Zub.
Perfect.
Easy to find.
Thank you so much for your time, sir. And I can't wait to read the rest of it. Can't wait to see what else comes for me. So.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. All right, guys. We are here at Toronto Fan Expo, Kevin and Derek, with the amazing writer and artist Adam Warren. How you doing, sir?
Not too bad. Actually doing pretty well, considering, for this day 3 of a 4-day convention.
Yeah, and this is a very large convention.
Yes.
There's a lot of people here, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, holding up pretty well.
Well, I got to ask you a question. Do you ever get overwhelmed with the size of a convention?
No, I mean, I really find it's just kind of a, particularly like when I'm usually stuck behind a table the entire time, so my experience of the convention is really just my, literally like a 50-foot radius around me,
okay,
and that's my entire convention.
Yeah.
I didn't want to assume, but who knows?
Yeah, because most of the time I have no idea what's going on in the rest of the rest of the show. I just get my...
Good.
You just get like waves of crowds. It'll thin out, then get crowded again, then it'll be noisy, then suddenly get quiet again. You know, so it kind of varies. So.
Well, this is our first, well, I guess technically second show in the last 2 years that we have not had a booth at, where we're
wandering
here
around like free men.
Yeah, and it's an odd experience to go back.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I can kind of get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I mean, because at San Diego, I haven't had a table in like 20 years. So I just, whenever I'm there, I just wander around kind of aimlessly, kind of kind of never being rooted down. That's actually not bad in a way, particularly in San Diego. But
Adam, for listeners that aren't familiar with you, mm-hmm. our listeners have probably heard me talk about Empowered a couple times, mm-hmm. And I know that's kind of your current project that you've got going on. But let's start with Empowered. What is Empowered all about?
Empowered is my sexy superhero comedy series published by Dark Horse Comics about the trials and tribulations and misadventures of a superheroine with plagued by low self-esteem and body image issues, who's forced to wear an extraordinarily embarrassing alien supersuit to give her powers. And it's about her dealing with life as a kind of C to D list kind of superhero in a strongly sort of douchebag run kind of superhero universe, and how she kind of gets through it with and overcomes with the help of her friends and the better of her peers, shall we say.
Yeah. So. You know, the thing I've enjoyed about this book, and like I told you earlier, I'm a relative newcomer to the story.
Yeah.
But the thing that I've enjoyed about it, it's funny and it's a lot of fun, but there's a lot of depth there. I mean, there's a lot of personal connection, and certain issues like the Nine Beers with Ninja dealt with a little bit more in-depth, you know, real life, I guess, traumas in some sense.
Oh yeah.
So
I mean, that actually the main actual reason I've continued with the series is that I get to get deeper into the characters and kind of get into sort of emotionally wrenching stuff, which is like that's despite the fact that it is mainly a comedy, sometimes it isn't. I say, you know, it's a sexy superhero comedy, except when it isn't. And that's one of the things I really like doing. That the high points of my career for me have been the rare moments in some of my other projects where I've actually had something with kind of emotional depth and resonance. And that's really the thing I like to do with Empowered, and why I keep doing it it hits these periodic peaks or depths depending on how horrible things are, what kind of things are happening to people that allows me to kind of do something that hopefully is that people find really compelling, that it is compelling to me personally. So.
Yeah. Now, how long has Empowered been going on?
Actually, we're on the 10-year anniversary of me starting it. I was stalled out on a weekend when I was still working for Marvel on a series called Live Wires.
Mm-hmm.
And over the summer of, like, 2004, I'm pretty sure. And I was stuck without approvals on a cover. So I had to get through some commissions of a distress-prone superheroine, and which eventually morphed into what would become Empowered.
Okay.
And but that was 10 years ago. It wasn't published until 2007, though.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And all through Dark Horse as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Then
yep.
Now, okay.
And so yeah, it's been 8 volumes so far.
Two compendiums, I think.
Yeah, two like huge 600-page collections of 3 volumes each, the deluxe hardcovers, we call them, and 8 volumes so far. And with volume 9, we're shooting for next August of 2015.
Okay.
Due to the vagaries of the book market, because you have to have stuff lined up way ahead of time.
All right. Well, Adam. We know that book's coming out. We've got a line building up here, so we're going to let you go so you can get back to all the rest of your fans. But
okay.
Thank you so much. But where can people find you online if they want to check you out?
They can find me at Empowered Comic on Twitter.
Okay.
That's my main place I hang out online, socially.
Perfect. So. Yeah, and I'm going to post up a picture of the fantastic commission you did for me earlier.
Okay.
So.
That's right.
We're going to have a link on our site.
Yep.
So you can pick that and check you out.
Adam, cool. Thanks again. It was a true pleasure meeting you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, gang, we are here with one of our all-time favorite and probably the most fitting sponsor out of all of us, Ink Whiskey. So back here with Johnny out here in Toronto. Last time we saw you was in Chicago.
Chicago, yeah, C2E2.
Yeah,
Chicago.
And you guys are from Portland. So
Portland, Oregon, yeah, so we've been flying a long way.
Yeah, putting some miles on, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I don't think we've had enough sleep in probably the last, like, week or so.
Well, you know, you can fill up these little flasks with energy drinks,
exactly.
Too.
That's true. Running on adrenaline and energy drink from the flask.
Yeah. Well, for new people to our show, basically what you've got is the old NES-style game cartridges that have been, flasks that have been created to look like them, I guess is probably the easiest way of saying it.
Exactly. People, basically we have We've made our own flasks that look like the NES cartridge. People are always like, oh, did you modify the old NES? But I think that plastic would actually kill someone.
Yeah.
So we've actually created our own mold and stuff, and it's all it's basically food-grade plastic, so it's safe for drinking and things like that. And now we have 6 different labels that are kind of puns on original NES labels, kind of. So we have Drunk Hunt instead of Duck Hunt.
Yep.
Basically, is a
Super
good,
Bar Hop Brothers.
Yeah, you know. Super Bar Hop Bros. Our newest one is Kega Man instead of Mega Man,
which is awesome.
Yeah, which was really good. Kessel Vodka.
Legend of Drunk. That's a great one.
Legend of Drink. Yeah. We have the Gold Edition and the regular edition too, and then Metal Beer. Is another one.
Now, the Gold Edition, that's a convention exclusive, correct?
It really is. We started selling it online, and then we took it off, and now we only sell it at conventions. We only bring about 100 or so with us and stuff. And those go for a little bit more, but it's electroplated, so it actually is like a good plate. We don't just spray paint it gold or something like that. So.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be good for drinking out of either.
Yeah, it would.
Now, you electroplate it. Now, do you do that yourself, or do you hire that out?
Yeah, we hire it out. Yeah,
everything
that we get done, we kind of hire out to other people to do. I don't think we could do any of this ourselves, like the molding process and things like that. It's so funny, like every once in a while it hits me that we are selling flasks that look like Nintendo cartridges, and people are buying them. And like when the idea was first presented to me by Matt, our CEO, I was like, that's the dumbest idea in the world, you know? And so sometimes even dumb dreams come true, it seems like. Like I would never expect me to be standing here in Toronto, you know, at the FanCon and experiencing this and like meeting all these people and seeing monsters walk by, you know, that are 10 feet tall. It's just insane.
Well, it's fun. Okay, a follow-up question then. So when you came up with this design and you went to a company to make that, get your mold, what was their reaction to it? Did you get an old person that were like, whatever, or did you get someone cool and then you end up talking about it forever?
I think they were more excited that we were going to give them money to do something that we wanted. So there was a few like, you want to do what? Okay, you want to do what?
And so, just as long as the check clears.
Yeah,
we'll do
exactly. As long as the check clears, you give it to us. Oh, but they've been great. The people who do it has been great. And stuff like that,
I think the one thing that shocked people after they get over the, oh my God, these are the coolest things I've ever seen, is when we tell them they're only $20.
Yeah.
They're like, what?
$20? Yeah. And so it works out good. And the newest addition is we have this back insert now that is actually made from vinyl that you can roll up and use as the funnel.
Oh!
So it's a whole new thing.
That's actually a great idea. You know, it's not that difficult to pour in.
It's not.
When you're pouring it in for the first time, but if you're refilling it the second and third time later that night.
It starts getting harder and harder for some reason. You don't know why.
Yeah.
It starts flowing more so.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm hoping people at home can actually hear the excitement of the people in the background.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear the amazings and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's the best thing, Brett. I love the people who come up and say, just shut up and take my money, and they throw money at us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the best part.
Like, we did.
Yeah, basically.
But, all right, so Johnny, where can people find you online if they aren't going to find you at a convention?
You can go to inkwhiskey.com and find all of our flasks online right now. And at Ink Whiskey if you're on Twitter, or facebook.com/inkwhiskey, and you can find us there. So, yeah, connect with us, and we'd love to.
We've got links on our site, you know, and so, you know, I mean.
Yeah, you guys have been awesome. So awesome. I love you guys' podcast and stuff. We always listen. We're big fans of
it. This is the best fit ever.
Yeah. It really does work together really well and stuff.
I know that there are some new titles in the works. Anything that you can announce here?
There are new titles in the works. The one I can, I'll let this one slip. We're working on a Contra title that's Contraband.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's next after that. We just came out with a Kega Man. And then I have so many people coming up to us giving us like ideas for labels and stuff. In fact, right before you guys, there was a girl up here that said, why don't you guys do Mario Brews instead of Mario Bros?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I never thought of that.
Brilliant.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I know we sent you that one on the
this
top.
This one
of your
at
list.
The top. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait for that one. But we'll keep that one secret.
That one's coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Johnny, thank you as always, man.
Hey, thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys, go out inkwhiskey.com. Go buy one of these flasks. You will be like the epitome of cool amongst your friends if you do. So, all right. Cheers, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys, I'm here with Mr. Jamal Igle. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I was thinking about talking to you earlier, and I don't know where to start with you because you've been around.
Yeah, I'm the deceptively old man of comics.
Well, you look great for being deceptively old.
Thank you.
But no, I mean you've got a career spanning how many years now?
Officially 25, actually.
And you've worked for just about every major publisher.
Pretty much, actually. I think I probably hit them all at this point because I just finished working for IDW. I'm working for Dark Horse now, doing the Terminator.
Okay.
I've worked for Marvel. I've worked for DC. I've worked for Image. So yeah, I mean, I haven't done anything for Boom yet, but knowing me, it's only a matter of time. So.
I guess one of the questions, looking back over this career, what are a couple of your favorite highlights of it as far as projects that you've done?
Ooh, wow, that is tough, actually. There's the stuff, you know, Firestorm and Supergirl will always be near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
You know, especially just, I think, for the time that I was on those books, they became extensions of me as, you know, as a creator and as characters, and I felt very close and very protective of them as characters. And obviously Molly Danger, which has been, you know, one of the most rewarding things I've ever done as a creator. But I'd have to say, like, I've had some good moments, you know. I mean, I got to work on the Green Lantern stuff over the course of my career, you know. And I've gotten to work on the Superman books, you know. My work's in Action Comics 900. You know, I drew the last free New 52 issue of Superman.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's new, you know, right? That's stuff that, you know, people, they can't take that stuff away from you.
Yeah.
You know, always be like, especially for me, somebody who's such a Superman mark.
Yep.
You know, it's just something that I will always hold near and dear to me, you know, having that opportunity.
That's fantastic. You know, and I always enjoy when I get to talk to creators, and they are just as excited about what they've done and what they're doing as us people who love the comics are. I mean, it makes us feel better. And I think a lot of times, I think a lot of those comics that people like myself relate to are the ones that you find out later that those are the comics that the creators related to as well.
I think so. I mean, it's so easy to get jaded in this business. I mean, you know, you get bogged down with the business side and everything, and there's a lot of work and a lot of politics and a lot of headaches that go along with it. But I'm a fan, you know. I'm in the shops every week just like everybody else. So, you know, I enjoy picking up new books and checking out stuff and seeing who's doing what and, you know, being jealous at the same time. It's like discovering new talent and just being like, God damn it, they're young and they're better than me, you know.
But they're not better looking.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank
you.
I, at least I have that. I have that going for me. So
here's a fun question for you then, I guess. What are you reading right now that you're loving?
Oh, God. Let's see. I just picked up Brubaker's new project,
Fallout?
New Image. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
that
was a great first issue. Lazarus, Rebecca, and Michael Lark. I was reading Fatale before that ended.
Yep.
That was very cool. What else am I reading? There's a lot. I'm reading the Bat books. I'm still reading the Bat books. I've been loving Bendis on All New X-Men.
Yeah.
I think that's probably my current favorite of all the X titles right now.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Amazing Spider-Man. Still loving Amazing Spider-Man. But I read, like, the entire Superior Spider-Man run. That stuff was fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. I mean, I'm picking up stuff all the time. I mean, you know, I'm digging. Like, I'm trying. It would be very easy for me to hype the stuff that we're doing in Action Lab because I think a lot of that stuff is really
You can
really
hype
awesome.
It, man. That's why you're here. That's why we're talking to you. We're all about sharing the love of what's good out there.
Oh, yeah,
there.
No. First Hero is awesome. We got Midnight Tiger by Ray Anthony Height, which looks amazing, reads really, really well. If you're like a Spider-Man fan, that's the type of book that you want to get your hands on. We've got a book that just launched. last week, if I remember correctly, called Hero Cats of Stellar City, which is just a very cute, it's about a team of ordinary cats who protect this little sleepy little town from monsters and aliens and the minions of bad guys.
Nice.
And it's very cool.
Yeah.
We've got Shinobi Ninja Princess, mm-hmm. by Marthaeus Wade, which is sort of a prequel to his Jedha Tales of the Toshigawa series.
Okay.
There's a ton of stuff. Just really, really cool stuff going on all around.
Nice. So, where can people go find you and your work and everything that you're doing online?
Well, personally, you can find me at jamaligle.com, JAMALIGLE, or mollydanger.com, or actionlabcomics.com.
Perfect. All right, Jamal, thank you so much. I know it's the end of the day.
Yeah.
You guys are all starting to pack up. I know that there's probably some dinner, and for us, I know there's some beverages waiting. but pleasure meeting you, man.
Nice meeting
Best
you,
of
too.
Luck, and I can't wait to see what else is coming
Absolutely.
Out from you. All
Thanks
right,
a lot.
Thank you. All right, we are starting to wind things up here on Saturday here at Toronto Fan Expo, and I'm here with Mr. Anthony Ruckgazer and Mr. Lee Motor. What's going on, gentlemen?
It's what's going in, gentlemen, in about an hour at dinner. I think we're talking about Indian food. What's going on is pushing the first hero and selling books and shaking hands and kissing babies, which is better than our original plan of kissing babies and shaking, or kissing hands
babies.
And shaking babies. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even get the joke out. That's how bad it's gotten, man. Glad handing with editors, if you know, when they appear, which is going pretty well, and getting the next selling this and getting the next thing ready.
Perfect. Well, I heard about the first hero from our good buddy Jay from An Elegant Weapon.
He's a villain.
Yeah, he is. But you know what? When we hang out with him, we look better. So. It kind of helps our persona.
That's true. For that to work for me, I basically have to get Charles Manson out on a day pass. But.
So tell our listeners about the first hero, if you will.
Okay, very simple. Everybody who gets superpowers goes insane, becomes a violent criminal. Our main character discovers he has powers, keeps his mind, has to decide what to do next. Either uses powers to help people, but put himself at risk of being hunted down by the government, or keep his powers a secret and watch innocent people all around him get hurt every day.
So it's a little bit more of a dilemma than your average superhero.
Yeah, it's not just, I have powers, now I'll help people. It's, I have powers, I want to help people, but the government might shoot me in the face.
Well, and there's the whole thing, though, about everybody else is going crazy.
Huh? Yeah, and so if everybody who's ever done a thing, something particular happens to them, how are you going to think that you're the one in however many that it's not going to happen to? You're gonna be constantly scared that this bad thing is going to happen to me, too. So he's got that hanging over him as well.
Cool. Now, how did you guys get connected to put this book together?
Well, we've known each other 21 years now. We met my first night in San Diego, 1993.
Oh, wow.
So
it also turned out to be my first night in San Diego.
Oh, yeah? That was your first show? I thought you had been before. But
uh-uh.
Yeah. And we met and became friends, and friendships carried on ever since. And now we have a project that we're working on together. That we're going to start shopping to publishers soon. So it's finally, after all this time, we're finally getting a chance to work together on stuff.
Fantastic.
So we're, you know.
Anything you can tease about the new project without giving anything away?
It's the end of the... It's 1939 New York, the end of the pulp detectives and the dawn of the superheroes.
Nice.
There you go.
That'll be a little fun one.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I know you guys are wrapping up because you got a lot to do yet.
It's just the end of Saturday. There's still a little time left on the floor here, but another day to come. And the crowds have been. Today was
a crush.
Yeah, it's just the numbers. They've got both buildings here at the Metro Toronto Convention Center now. and it's just a lot of damn people, man.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, I've got sweatbands from where my backpack was, so, I mean, just trying to maneuver through this, it was like a, you know, I felt like I was in a meat grinder a couple times.
But, well, I actually took off at one point earlier today about 11 o'clock and went over, walked over to the Eaton Center because all this walking in the summer sun has finally, it finally murdered the last of usability of my sandals. I needed new, Jamal Eichel's sitting next to us. I turned to Jamal and I said, my sandal's starting to stink. And he said, yeah, a little funky. And I said, all right, back in an hour. And away I was off.
Well, you were lucky that you did it at the right time. I stepped outside briefly, and it took me 45 minutes to get back in.
Yeah. Well, see, now I have the benefit of the guest pass, so there's a separate door for me.
Yeah.
I can just wave at people and scream, I'm better than all of you.
I normally do that, but I'm not normally waving. Well, I have one finger, but it's not waving. So.
You're all number one.
All right, so people want to find out about the First Hero. Where do they go?
A few places they can go. They can go to actionlabcomics.com, which is our publisher, Action Lab Entertainment. They can go to 16hectares.com, all spelled out. Or they can go to thefirsthero.com with a number one in place of the I in first, because I'm cutesy like that. Or they can look it up on Comixology. We're on sale on Comixology or your local comic book store. If it's any good, they'll have it. And if they don't have it, find a new store because they suck.
Or just tell them to order it.
Yeah, and we have order forms for each issue on the 16 Hectares website. You can print it out, fill it out. It's got the diamond order code on there. Bring it to your store and they'll know, look, I want this. You're not ordering 70 and hoping to sell them. You're ordering one for me. When it comes in, you call me.
And the first issue just came out last week, right?
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago?
Okay. Came out 2 weeks ago. It was scheduled for 27th, but Diamond sent it out on the 13th of August. That's fine. Better early than late. Issue 2 comes out September 24th, unless it gets sent out early. But all 4 issues are done. They're scheduled. They're coming out. They'll be out on time or early. There'll be no late shipping for the First Hero.
Cool.
Get into the book, and you'll be able to enjoy it on a monthly basis.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to reading it. I picked up my copy this morning. After Jay and I talked, I told him, I go, that's the one thing I already know I'm buying when I get here to Toronto.
Excellent.
So So I'm going to give it a read, and if any of our listeners want to know what I think, they can ask me too, and, you know. And I'll tell them it was great.
And now this is the sound of me slipping you a $10 bill. You love this book.
I said it would be great.
That's right. That's right. Here you go. Hey, payment in advance.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
This is radio.
So
I didn't give them 10 bucks.
Yeah. we'll discuss terms later.
Yeah. But
guys, thank you so much. I appreciate
you.
Your time.
Not a problem.
And enjoy the rest of the time here at the show.
You too.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed those interviews.
They did. They did.
Like I said, I mean, they were brief. We obviously didn't get a chance to talk to everybody we wanted to. But, you know, you go to a show for one day and you go on the busiest day. I was glad we got to meet everyone that we did. You know, but obviously couldn't bring all the goodness, you know, to all of our listeners out there. But next year, I think next year we're really going to have to look at doing the full weekend experience. You know, save up for it and go do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, any other highlights that you had some good purchases though?
Yeah. So as the listeners, I'm expecting a baby boy here in October. And really, I mean, I kept my eyes open for some deals for myself or for some back issues and some stuff. But really, my main focus was baby stuff.
Which is hilarious because that's a brand new way to attack a show.
Yeah.
I'm looking for baby stuff.
I am, man. So I found baby blankets and baby shirts. So that was... For me, it was great. Got some stuff for my wife. That was great. But, I mean... Really, whatever you want, it's probably there for purchase. And always ask for a lower price.
unless it's with an artist.
Yep.
If it's merchandise, yeah.
Yeah, merch booths, yeah. Your artists, nah, just support your artists.
Yeah. I actually, the one commission that I got from Adam Warren, he quoted me actually a really good price for the commission. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. And then when I saw it, he went way above and beyond, so I actually paid him more because he did more than what, basically from what I saw and what I expected, he went above and beyond. And I mean, it's God, that's a gorgeous, gorgeous commission. So, yeah, and they appreciate it too. But anyway, our next con special is not that far off either.
No, gosh, what, 20 days away, something like that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Yeah, it's like about 3 weeks, roughly.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. And that's gonna be at Grand Con.
Yep.
In Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can check that out if you're interested, maybe to see us or just to go to a really cool convention at grand-con.com.
Yes. Yep. And Crown Plaza, Grand Rapids, Michigan. So, well, I think it's time for us to get one more beer and, you know, try and kill the weekend numbness.
Yeah, yeah, right on, man.
So, thank you to everyone at Toronto, in Toronto for Fan Expo Canada. Amazing hosts there. Thanks again to Jay. And
yeah, thanks again. And listeners, we appreciate the support. And if you haven't checked us out on Twitter, check us out at Drunk on Comics.
Facebook. .com/drunkoncomics,
and then of course
Instagram, which we don't do anything on.
We keep on bringing it up, man.
Well, we got one. I don't know. There's a couple pictures on there. Maybe somebody wants to see like the three or four pictures that we posted up there.
coming soon, our fifth one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that they're like special editions. You know, they just they're here and they're gone. It's like boom, and people are like, man, that's awesome. And then, they sit around, they gotta wait. But, alright guys, keep reading your comics and keep going to shows. And we'll see you at one of them coming up here shortly. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.